At this time of year, I find myself pulled in two different directions. I find myself going back and forth between two different feelings. On one hand, I feel lifted up by the beauty of autumn in New England, when leaves are changing and the wind blows and the sky is full of them falling, when you hear geese honking overhead and you look up and you see them flying south. Fall is invigorating, isn't it? The cooler air and the beauty all around make me glad to be alive. And also, autumn brings for me a sense of sadness and even melancholy. You know those bright yellow and red and orange leaves? They're fading. The weather that is crisp now is going to turn cold and raw. The night is coming more quickly now. This time of year, I'm mindful of things ending, and that brings for me a sense of sadness. Some afternoons, I'll walk down to Linwood Cemetery this time of year as the day is fading, just to be among the graves there and under those big trees. And the hymn we just sang will come to mind. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. It's no accident that the church placed its days to remember those who have died at this time of year. Ancient earth center traditions were particularly attuned to the presence of their departed. At this moment, halfway between the end of summer and the start of winter, they said that the veil between this earthly world and the spirit world is especially thin right now. And I feel that too. There's a sweet sadness in these darkening days, an awareness that our time is limited, that we are mortal too. So what are we to do about that? You could run around making yourself busy, trying to pretend that it's not the case. And you know, people do that. Our culture certainly encourages us to do that, to deny the reality of death. But to what end? Doesn't this fear of death just close us off from a fuller experience of life? You can't live in the light all the time. No one can. As beautiful as that light is, evening comes. Our days are times of both light and shadow, and the invitation is to be present to all of it as best we can. I just came back yesterday from a couple of days of visiting my mom down in North Carolina. She's 87 now, and she's recovering from a hip replacement, and her short-term memory isn't so good anymore. I see her life winding down before me, and that makes me sad. But she would tell you that she has had a good life and that she's not afraid to die. A couple of times when we were together, she would start a conversation. When I die, I want you to take those books. Or when I die, I don't want anybody to do a homily and talk about me at my funeral. We'll see how that goes. A part of me wants to resist those conversations, to say, we don't have to talk about this right now, to put them off until another day. But you know, they are such good conversations to have. And I appreciate hearing about her wishes for her funeral and the books she wants me to take. And it's healthy to talk about death while we can, and not leave important things unsaid. Yes, death is a big ending, and it's sad, but isn't death the price we pay for living? just as grief is the price we pay for loving. The sadness that we feel over those who have died is in equal proportion to how much we love them. We don't get one without the other. If you want to avoid this kind of pain in life, then don't make connections. Don't love people or depend upon them. But what kind of life would that be? Almost 500 years ago, the English poet John Donne wrote, "No man is an island entire of itself. Each man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. And therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." The UU minister, Forrest Church, said, "Religion is the human response to being alive and having to die." Good religion makes room for both our sorrow and our joy, and it helps us to hold both. That's why we see funerals and memorial services as a celebration of the life of the deceased, and why it's good to have opportunities to laugh at those services as well as cry. That's why we appreciate cultures that have fun with death, like Mexico's Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. It's why people dress up on All Hallows' Eve, the night before All Saints' Day, to mock death and to have fun with it, and to get that candy, of course. If there's one message that I take from death, it is this: live this life while you're here, while you can. Do what you want to do, what you long to do. Deal with your hurt and your resentment so it doesn't haunt you. Say, "I love you," to the people you love while you can. As James Taylor sings, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are going to be much better if you only will. Because none of us know how long we have on this earth. How about we let that truth light a fire under each of us and remind us to live our lives as fully and as gladly as we can right now. So we spend our time on what matters. So we put ourselves in the presence of that which will bless and nourish and inspire us. Many of us appreciate the poet Mary Oliver because of how she expresses the holiness found in the things of this world. "When I am among the trees," she writes, "they give off such hints of gladness, I would almost say they save me, and daily." So whether it is among the trees or among your people or doing work that you love, don't we all need places where we can hear this affirming call of life, where we can be reminded of the simple truth that you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. This month we've been talking about the two strands of our faith, Unitarianism and Universalism. And something that I love about our free faith, and I never thought I would find myself saying this, but here you go. It's not that religious, at least not in the churchy, starchy, disconnected from real life way that some religions are. No, our faith has always been one that's suspicious of piety, more interested in what you do than in what you say. The Universalists were always pretty down-to-earth people. And the Unitarians, too, at least since the time of the Transcendentalists. Before that, maybe not so much. I'm all for church and religion, but grounded in the world, not disconnected from our lives or set apart from what is earthy and real. I love that in this tradition, we are tree huggers and fire worshipers. If you doubt that, just look around. We find the holy out there, outside of our walls, and we come here on Sundays to celebrate and share that wholeness and that holiness. But we don't think this building is where the holy lives, or that religion is meant to be cut off from the world. So you can imagine my delight last winter when I heard that song that our choir sang a few minutes ago, because it is such a statement of who we are, isn't it? It could be our creed if we went in for such a thing as that. Don't worry. Ours is a simple faith. Life is a short embrace. Heaven is in this place every day. Hope is the ground we till. Make each day what you will. Thankful for dreams fulfilled every day. I want to share the verses of this song again with you because they are so good to hear, especially on this day. And I'm not going to sing them. I'm going to say them so you can hear them. But I hope you will join in singing along on the refrain as an affirmation of our earthy and simple faith. No room in this heart for fear. No judgment day drawing near. Trust that inner voice you hear every day. Life's not a goal or race. It's about heart and faith and living a life of grace every day. Ours is a simple faith. Life is a short embrace. Heaven is in this place every day. Hope is the ground we till. Make each day. Trust is an open hand, making an honest stand, rooted here in the land every day, living the mystery, seeking the harmony, here between you and me every day. Complicated and often troubled world, aren't we blessed to have this simple faith that roots us in the good earth, that helps us to stay connected to one another and with that mystery that surrounds us? So let us live this faith as deeply as we can and share it with others and do our part to help heal and bless our world. On this day when we remember those we have loved and lost, let us be grateful for this abundant life and for all the souls whose lives have been so closely linked with ours. Let us give thanks for them, for all the saints who from their labors rest. Let us this day and in the days to come be mindful of and grateful for these lives that we have been given. Let us pray that we will be good stewards of these gifts. Let us never forget that we are part of a great love that will never let us go. That in the midst of life's struggles, we are companioned by grace. Amazing grace in this world without end. Amen. Our hymn is Amazing Grace, number 205.